What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the first ever episode of the Long Island Sound, the only Islanders podcast with opinions that dig deeper than the shovels at Belmont and hit harder than Matt Martin's fists. I'm Damon Vetteri, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, Ben Cohen.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good to be here.
And Kenny Ivero.
How's it going, guys?
All right, well, gentlemen, we're at the halfway point of August. Shovels are in the ground. Mitch Marner still hasn't signed in the so-called hockey mecca, and camp's just about a month away. How are we doing today?
For me, at least, the team feeling sometimes dictates my feeling. I try not to let that happen, but, you know, it happens more than I'd like to admit. So it's nice that the stress about the home is gone. It almost felt like when we were, obviously this season we're going to play again at Barclays and the Coliseum, but it feels like at least we know where we're going. So it feels like almost like I know where I'm going and I have a home. maybe that seems a bit odd, but.
No, man, definitely not. I saw that Lamoriello had a quote that basically said what we all know already, but he basically said, you know, without Belmont, the Islanders would not be on Long Island. They'd be somewhere else. So it's the first time that we're not leasing a building. We're not unwanted. We will have our own building that we own. So it's definitely a good feeling. How about you, Kenny? How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm excited. Obviously, the whole Belmont thing is huge. I mean, we've been doing this back and forth with an arena for, 15 years now. So
at least,
it's been at least that. Like, so it's nice to just know that we're going to have a place that's actually ours. We're not sharing it with a basketball team. It's built for hockey. You know, it's not Long Island, but, you know, it might not have the tailgating and all the stuff that the Coliseum has, but it'll be much nicer than going to Barclays. I'm sure it'll have more of like a home feeling than that place. So I'm excited. I think it's going to be good. And bringing back all the guys we brought back for decent contracts. I mean, I think we're in a good position. We had 103 points last year, so we are definitely a good hockey team. I don't think you had to make many changes, but yeah, I'm excited. I think we should be at least in the wild card hunt.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, it's funny because I know that like the Coliseum rules say no tailgating either, so I'm sure all that non-tailgating stuff is just, you know, it's going to go away. That's going to go away, you know, the moment that they drop the puck.
Yeah.
Forget that. I mean, you're not going to keep people away.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, you brought up some good points, both of you guys. So we obviously have a loaded show as we gear up for the season. So since this is the first podcast of the Long Island Sound, we're going to come in hot with the first ever edition of the Natural Hat Trick. Now, the Natural Hat Trick is going to be each of us, since we've got three co-hosts, makes sense. We each bring in one topic that we're going to dissect, analyze, debate, and, you know, the fun part is we kind of know what we're going to talk about, but we don't know where each other stands, so I think we'll get some good reactions from each other, and I know we definitely will with this first topic, so Kenny, you're going to kick it off with, why don't you share who you want to discuss today?
Oh, man. I mean, obviously, you know that I've shared my opinions of Nick Leddy and the power play for a long time now. I definitely don't think he's a bad player. I think he just probably doesn't fit with what we're trying to do as far as the style of players we have for our power play. And he's not a shooter. He doesn't pass the puck that well. He's a great skater. Defensively, he's somewhat of a liability. And I feel like he holds us back from having at least an average power play in the NHL. And his age, his cap hit, he's definitely a tradable asset. I mean, I think he's probably a top line second pair defenseman. It's hard for me to trash on the guy right now because it's the off season. I'm not watching him game by game, but you know that I'm not the biggest fan of him. I think he's got some value. What do you think about Nick Leddy, Ben? I mean, let's get your opinions on it, since I don't really know how you feel about, you know, a bunch of the players on this team.
To me, he could like do a job for 90% of NHL teams who don't have a guy that is younger on a smaller cap hit and does a better job in Devin Toews. So I think it would be better if he moved to another team, and there are plenty of teams that would be out there.
It's true. It's true. And who knows with Lou, really? I mean, you know, you think for sure that someone's a slam dunk to move, especially I think it was the first person I heard reporting anything on Letty moving was Andy Graziano with WFAN. And he was saying that there were like rumors during the Doug Waite era that, you know, after that abysmal season that he had, he was kind of requesting a trade. And but then, you know, Trotz talks about is, you know, how important Letty is to, you know, he wants him playing, you know, defense first and all this. And I, you know, it's hard to say where he lands. If we have an overabundance of something right now, it's that kind of defenseman, you know, because we have Devon Toews, and that makes such a difference for puck moving, for speed. You know, he's younger, he's got, you know, a much better cap hit than Letty. But you know, it's a strange situation where Letty fits into this team because they have him quarterbacking the first power play unit. Right. And Kenny, you took the words right out of my mouth, man. Like I'm thinking it as you're saying it, he doesn't have a shot threat. He's not a great passer. He's very deliberate. And you watch as the season went on and teams started getting more and more footage on the aisles, they were just collapsing down low in the box. There was no threat of a shot coming from Letty at all. And it made everybody else's job that much harder. Barzal on the wall, Lee in front of the net. Those guys didn't have the space because everybody knew Letty's not going to shoot the puck. So yeah. It was so frustrating. And when they finally, for me, when they finally put Pulock on the top of the power play one with Letty, what drove me crazy is, I mean, there were some games I'd sit there and I'd look, Letty would not give Pulock the puck.
I knew you were going to say that.
I'm screaming at the TV. I'm like, he's right next to you. He's got a cannon, you know? But that drove me crazy.
He only shoots the puck when another defenseman's paired up with him, whether it's Toews or Pulock. Then he wants to shoot the puck. He can't make a pass. And like you said, he doesn't even try to shoot the puck. Like I get it. You don't need to have a cannon on the point, but you gotta just shoot it on net, man. Like you gotta just make the penalty kill at least respect you. I mean, they're just like, okay, well, he's gonna get it at the point. He's gonna dish off to Bailey, who's gonna pass it back to him. He's gonna pass the puck. Everyone's just passing the puck, and there's no flow. It's like they wait a full second before making a pass. There's no like one touch passing or one timers. That's how you have to score in the NHL nowadays. You have to have, everyone has a couple of guys that can shoot, not just one. And it's not just Pulock. Pulock can't play on the first unit power play because he's going to end up playing 35 minutes a night. He's too good everywhere else. So a guy like Noah Dobson, he's got a cannon. He skates just as good as Letty. He's bigger. He's younger on a smaller cap hit. And I think that if Dobson can make the team, it makes him extremely expendable, being that Devin Toews, I think, is already just as good for a quarter of the price as Letty. I mean, and Letty's not on a bad contract to say, you know, he's only getting paid 5.5 for the next 3 years. That's great. The Rangers would pay him 8.5, you know? So it's like, this is realistic. He could be moved. I heard, and I'm not even going to take credit for it, my brother actually mentioned that Calgary was looking for a defenseman. So I'm looking at their roster, their cap situation. I mean, maybe a guy like Sam Bennett would be a guy that they maybe would consider moving. I don't know how you guys feel about that. He's 23, getting paid $2.5 million a year the next 2 years.
Bennett's RFA. 23?
Yeah, he's been playing in the league since he was like 19. So
yeah, it feels like he's been in the league for ages.
Yeah, yes. And to grow that mustache at 23, I mean, geez, strong for him.
Yeah, but I feel like he's kind of like a Bailey situation over there. Like he kind of got rushed in, mediocre point production, 36 points, 26 points. I really don't know how I feel about Calgary's offense, but you put him with a guy like, you know, on a second line with Barzal potentially. I don't know. I feel like it's maybe time for a change for a guy like that. I mean, he's probably not opposed to being traded. I don't know how attractive the Islanders are and if he has any say. I don't think he probably does, being an RFA, but that's just a name I was just we'll just put out there as maybe a potential trade candidate. I don't think we're going to hear rumors with Lou. It's just going to happen. We're not going to, you know, nothing's going to get leaked. So, but I want to move the guy. That's just my opinion. I don't think we have a need for him anymore.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And I think especially with Noah Dobson in the wings and, you know, I can't see Dobson not making the roster this year. And the biggest reason for that is because what does he have left to do in juniors? I mean, the kid's won two Memorial Cups back to back. There's nothing left for him there. And the way the rules work and everything else, I wish he could go and play in the AHL for a year because I think that would be the best thing for his development. But realistically, I see Dobson coming up. So you're almost going to have to move a guy like Letty. I mean, unless they move someone else, like a Pellick or a Mayfield, the team that's looking for somebody on the cheap. But that to me would be the mistake. I think you get rid of Letty for sure. I don't know if we get a guy like Bennett. Yeah, looking at it now, I cannot believe that he's only that old, doing 23. But yeah, I mean, you're trading for youth, right? So I think you'd probably have to throw something else in. Ben, I don't want to step on your toes. I know you want to talk about tradable assets as your topic for the hat trick. So this might lead right into that. But
yeah, that's perfect.
I think we may have to sprinkle something else in to get a guy like Bennett, but that's not a bad bad move at all. Not a bad idea at all to you know. And we've heard also. Nugent Hopkins was another name that, you know, you hear kind of thrown around, but I doubt that Edmonton ever trades with us again. How could
they lose badly?
It's definitely a good transition. I think our three hat trick topics today definitely go together well. We'll see how that flows in the future, and we'll get to the last one a little bit later. But I wanted to talk about tradable assets, and obviously Letty's at the top of that list for sure. And we just talked about it, his value, his contract, his age, his usefulness to other teams, but not the Islanders. But I think that there are a few other guys on that list. And in terms of the Islanders, I think it might less be players and more positions. The top of the priority list for me is obviously you want to get a top six forward, but in terms of who you want to get out, I want a clear room for Noah Dobson, because Noah Dobson is just, he needs to be in the lineup. He's too good to not be in the lineup, especially when you consider that he can't play in the AHL next year, which is really great that Bodie Wild can play in the AHL, because I think he could tear it up there and might even be ready for next year. But that's a talk for another day. To get Dobson in as a right-sided defenseman, the Islanders are stacked on the right with Pulak, Boychuk, and also Mayfield. And I think that as much as I would want to move Boychuk, I don't see it happening. And the truth of the matter is that he gets stick that maybe he doesn't deserve so much because of his contract and the no-move clause. But the truth of the matter is that he's a really good defenseman. And I think he can seriously do a job. And when you add that Pulak's not going to leave and Boychuk is not going to leave, at least this season, I wouldn't be surprised if Mayfield left. And I really like Mayfield. I think he's really, really good defenseman for the Islanders, especially when you look at guys like Pulak and Taves, who are of the younger guys, more offensive-minded. Mayfield is better in the defensive end, but also has decent wrist shots from the point. But to me, I think that if you were to clear a spot for Noah Dobson, preferably on the right, it would be Mayfield that would go. And so my unpopular opinion is on tradable assets is that the Islanders could even trade three defensemen this summer. I don't see it happening, but I could see Letty, Hickey, and also Mayfield leaving. And then the Islanders' defensive depth chart would look like Pellick, Pulak, that needs to stay together as the first line. And then Taves and Dobbs as the second line. I think that could be a really, really sweet pair. And then Aho and Boychuk. And there's debating the real Sebastian Aho, by the way, and whether Aho's ready for the NHL. And I think that he for sure is ready to be next to a veteran like Boychuk. And then I'm thinking that you either Mayfield can sit on the scratch pad if you don't want to move him, or Hickey if you don't want to move him. Or if you move both, then you can get a scratch pad defender in one of those deals, or defenseman in one of those deals. And then there's one forward that I want to get to, but first I want to see what you guys think about the defenseman and this whole expendable, three expendable defensemen that I've sort of thrown out there.
Well, I know you're singing Kenny's song because Kenny loves Aho.
Yeah.
He loves Aho.
He's a beast.
He's a good, yeah, he's a good player.
He's, yeah, you go first.
the only thing I'll say is that I think the Isles would be absolutely crazy to move Scott Mayfield when the guy is making not even $1.5 million a year. That's his cap hit, 145.
Yeah, that's year. Crazy.
And we have him till 2023.
Yeah.
He basically gave us his prime for $1.5 million. And the dude plays almost 20 minutes a night. I don't see
how. Oh, it's an amazing contract.
It's the best contract on the team, really. I mean, sure. So I don't think you can get rid, unless you're bringing in, you know, a stud. I don't see
That's what I'm thinking is you could get value for him. I don't want to trade him, but I think that he could be traded if you want to get make room for Dobson. And then if you think that by the time Boychuk leaves, then you can have Wild ready.
Yeah. Well, Boychuk's still till 2022, man. We got him for 3 more years. I think Wild will probably be ready by not – I think next year he plays in the AHL the full season, and then I think he competes for a roster spot the next year. So, you know, I think Boychuk is probably going to stay. I think that he adds too much to the locker room and a veteran presence that I think this team still needs with such a young D-core. Talented, but young. I can see us giving up Pelech before we give up Mayfield.
No, you can't. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. Well, you can't give up Pelech. I love Pelech.
You love Pelech, Kenny.
So I love Pelech.
Go ahead, man.
All right, well... Yeah, I guess we definitely want to – you definitely said a lot. I completely agree. I'll start with Scott Mayfield. There's no way you can trade him because his contract's so valuable. I definitely think he would have the biggest return. But as a guy who's – I think he's earned the sixth spot as a defenseman, and he would be a ridiculously good seventh defenseman. He hits the net with every shot. He's not afraid to skate the puck in. He has these moments where it's like – He looks like a $5 million a year defenseman. Like, the guy scores clutch. He gets some clutch points. He can fight. No one's pushing around anybody when he's on the rink. You kind of need a guy like that. We don't have anybody on the back end like that. Boychuk can't do that anymore. You know, Hickey would get dummied. Pelech's a big boy, but he's not really, like, going to drop the gloves. Pulak, same deal. Doesn't get pushed around. But you got to have someone that's going to, like, you know, instill some fear in guys who are going to be pushing around people in the front of the net. And I think Mayfield does that. And with his contract, I mean, $1.45 million a year for the next 4 years. I mean, after taxes, I think I make more than him. Like, I don't know what he was thinking. Like, that's crazy. So I agree with Ben that he's definitely the most valuable asset we have. But what would we get from Mayfield that would make you make us happy? Because I think losing a guy like that would really, like, hurt our defensive, you know, the physical side of our defense, which, you know, we really don't have anyone physical on D.
He's the biggest dude on the team. I mean, he's 6'5".
Yeah.
You know, next biggest guy, you know, as far as, you know, weight and size go, is Pelech.
Yeah, and I'll get to Pelech. I mean, listen, Adam Pelech, I think, has probably the most skill as far as, I mean, at times he looks like a complete stud, but he will ice the puck at the worst time of the game and cost us. I agree.
One completely. A game.
100%. And you're the first person to text me when it happens. He'll have a flawless game. And I know that when he messes up that you're going to text me. I'm like, I don't even want to deal with this right now. Well, but like,
Kenny's heart starts racing when Pelech makes a mistake. Cause like, he'll be playing so good. I'm like, wow, that was a great play. And then, out of nowhere, like, there'll be no one around him. He'll just send the puck down the end. And it's like, why did you do that? I don't understand.
I get it. But, like, just think of the role he's playing. I mean, if anyone would have said 2 years ago that Pulak and Pelech would be your first pair of defense, you guys would probably laugh. You know, maybe you could see Pelech being there, Pulak being there, but I want to give these guys another year or two under Trotz. I mean, look at the improvement that he's, you know, given. I mean, even Letty, I was like a minus 40, which is like, looked like a typo.
Minus 42.
Yeah, and he was even, you know, but it's like we're not looking for Letty to be a shutdown defenseman. If he's your first unit power play quarterback for the past 3 years, he's been given every single opportunity to play better than he's been. Okay, there's every combination of forwards and defense has been thrown his way, and the Islanders' power play is the reason why we weren't in first place last year and we lost to Carolina. You got to score power play goals, especially in the playoffs. So it's like, what does Letty bring to us? Pelech's a better defenseman. Pulak's a better defenseman. Taves, everyone's a better defenseman than Letty. So just let's move him. Let's get a guy that could, or just promote someone. Maybe Dobson comes in, takes some even strength minutes away from Pulak so Pulak can play the power play. Aho, like you mentioned, that dude is a beast. He's Thomas Hickey 3.0. He's a way better skater. He's fleet of foot. He's got a great first pass, and the guy's got a cannon for a little guy. I get it. Like I'm obsessed with the shots, but you gotta have a good slap shot. You gotta be able to crank the puck past these goalies. If you're just gonna set it up and be real deliberate and everything's just obvious, you're not gonna score in the NHL. You gotta have guys that are gonna rip one timers and catch the penalty kill out of position. But we don't have that right now. And I'm kind of tired of Nick Letty, to be honest with you. I think it's time to move on. I definitely don't want to trade Mayfield. I mean, that's just how I feel about the Islanders' defense. I could see maybe a bunch of defensemen getting moved just based on the fact that Trotz and all those guys came in and these weren't their guys, you know, and then they were, and now they're stuck with the same guys that they didn't really bring in. So that's the only reason why I could see them changing things up. But them re-signing Hickey for 3 years last year, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know he's a good locker room guy, but he looks like he took a huge step back in the past 2 years. Like,
for sure.
He's slow. Yeah.
Did he take a step back, or did everybody else around him take a step forward?
I think that's the case. He just doesn't have it. Physically, he's not as gifted. He's not fast. He could throw a big hit every once in a while, and he's great in overtime. There's no 3-on-3 overtime. It's like that's, you know, come on. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't want to see too many changes. I like having big guys on defense. And would you have a bunch of guys that are 6'2", 3, and 4? It's acceptable to have a guy like Aho out there floating around. You can't have Aho and Hickey in a lineup. You can't. It's one or the other, and it's obvious that Aho's ready. I mean, I'm looking at his stats last year. It was his second full season in Bridgeport. Played 67 games, had 46 points. Come on, man! Plus 4, nine goals, 7 assists. Are you kidding me, man? Yeah. Like, what else is there to do? The guy should be the last cut, at least, or get like a couple games next. You know, this season. There's no reason why he shouldn't. He was the best defenseman in Bridgeport last year by a mile. You know, so Taves made it. I think Aho should be next, but you got to move Hickey or Letty to bring in a guy like Aho. That's just my opinion on the defense.
See, but you said it. You said it about Letty being the. You said that Pelech's better than Letty. Pulak's better than Letty. Mayfield's probably better than Letty. Taves is probably better than Letty. And Boychuk's probably. I mean, but Letty only plays well when he plays with Boychuk. And yeah. So if Letty's, you know, our fifth, sixth, best defenseman, and then you look at guys like Aho and Dobson, and then a year or two down the line, Bodie Wild as well, waiting in the wings, sure, yes, it says, okay, Letty has to get out. We don't have room for him anymore. But it also says, okay, I just named 8 or 9. Not all 8 of those guys can stay. Even if Letty goes, it can't just be Letty. And if Hickey goes, then we're looking at more right-handed guys than left-handed guys. And listen, if you put Boychuk on the scratch pad, I get it, because then Pulak and Dobson are ahead of him. And I just would love all 3 of those guys to play, because I love Mayfield just as much as you guys do. But I don't see Boychuk not playing, and I don't want Dobson to sit scratch pad. I wanted to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the word for him.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, I think what they need to do, because it just, for me, especially this summer after Lou and Trotz have had a full season with this team and they know how it's constructed and you know they know what the weaknesses are and you know they know where the strengths are. I feel like we're sitting on a gold mine of assets on the blue line that we can use to fill, to move and fill from within with our farm system between Aho and Dobson, filling in those gaps, move the pieces that we need to, and then help our, you know, our third line center issue, our first line winger issue, that, you know, build, you know, take it from a position of strength, the blue line, and fill in the weak spots, which I think is our forward core. And I'm shocked that it is the middle of August and that has not happened yet. To me, this seems like, I mean, look, I don't want to say a no-brainer, but I mean, we know we need to score more goals. We need a more dynamic offense. We need snipers. And yes, I know we have that in our farm system too, with Wahlstrom and Bellows, and I'm sure we'll touch on those guys too, but that's what we need to do. We need to move the pieces that can be moved. And you know what? Maybe people, GMs aren't as hot on Nick Leddy. They've seen, you know, his numbers kind of diminishing, although last year wasn't a bad year for him. And I still think, you know, he's 28. There's a lot of potential there. I'm just shocked that we haven't been able to do that. And like, Ben, you know, you wanted to talk about tradable assets here. So would you take Leddy and package him with, again, maybe a Mayfield? So, you know, average contract and a great contract, package that to get a winger to play with Barzal, or to get a solid, you know, a solid 3C maybe. I mean, do you do that? Is that worthwhile for you?
I'm kind of curious about it, because when you look at the so-called Marner sweepstakes, you think about the offer sheet and then a trade option. But if you think about, okay, an offer sheet would be 4 first round picks for his rights. If you're the Islanders and Toronto, and I give you this trade of Leddy, Beauvillier, because he was the forward that I had on my list, and I wanted to get to forwards after Leddy, Beauvillier, and I don't know what picks you want to include, but take the picks, I don't know, a first or something. Is that's better than 4 first round picks to you, is it not? Beauvillier's rights, who for me has the potential to be sort of the top end of what he's been doing, and he's like the most inconsistent player on earth. Mm-hmm. For the Islanders, you almost want to keep him just because you think he's going to score 4 goals against the Rangers. But does that deal not sound like it's more appealing to Toronto than 4 first round picks, and more appealing to the Islanders?
Probably. I mean, I would agree with that, just because if I'm Toronto, and if we're really going to consider going down the offer sheet road with Marner, you got to look at, okay, which team's making the offer sheet. Okay, it's the Isles. Realistically, they should, in the next 4 years, be in the top, you know, third of the league. So you're not getting great first round picks, you know, when you're dealing in the, you know, in the bottom third of that first round. So yeah, I would probably jump on something like that before I would, you know, on your trade proposal than I would just taking four first rounders, unless Toronto then would turn around and package that to somebody else and maybe move a couple of those first round picks for things that they need, which, you know, could be.
So, how much would the offer sheet be, though? I mean, what are you willing to give, and what would be enough for Toronto to say we can't do that?
Well, do you believe the rumors, or do you want to just play hypothetical? Because the rumors are that the Islanders were going to offer $13 million for 5 years. Now, where the rumor came from, who knows? It's August. Things are slow. It's probably just, you know, somebody makes something up to get some clicks. But that's realistically, to play in New York for this team, you'd probably need to overpay.
I don't mind overpaying him. You know, the guy had 94 points last year. He would be ridiculous with the Islanders. I mean,
for sure.
Yeah, there's only one puck in Toronto, and the guy still had 94 points, and he's playing with Tavares, Matthews, Nylander, Kapanen, Marleau at the, you know, last year at least. So it's like, there's even more room for improvement. The guy's a 90-point player every, you know, at least a point a game. And I don't care how much you have to pay to get a guy like that. That would be awesome. I just, it's so not Islander-like to, like, make a move like that. That would just be crazy if the Islanders did that. And why haven't they done it already? Like, what would, if that was the thing, you could have done that a month ago. Like, there's nothing really, well, like.
It's leverage, Kenny. It's yeah. Time. You know, lose playing the long game, maybe, if that's the case. There's more RFAs available right now than there's ever been going into a season, and top quality RFAs, not, you know, your borderline AHL guys. Braden Point, Patrick Laine, who, you know, just yesterday said he doesn't know what's happening with Winnipeg anymore. Like, that started a whole, you know, a whole big thing online. You know, and Marner. So you've got big name RFAs that, you know, this is unprecedented. And, you know, I think the whole league is almost waiting to see what happens with Marner before anything else really happens, and before those trade windows open up. Plus, you know, what tends to happen is, as, you know, people start reporting to camp, you know, and rosters start to take shape, that's when you can maybe pluck a guy and make a trade, you know, with a team that is in a little bit of cap trouble, like Garth Snow did getting Boychuk and Letty not that long ago. So I think you will find those opportunities. But I don't know, boys, like, the more this goes on, the more I'm wondering, like, how aggressive is Lou? I don't know. I don't think he's very aggressive. It just, from what I've seen now, I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt the first season because he doesn't know what he has, but now he knows. And for him to put all his eggs in one basket going after Panarin, which we all knew Panarin wanted to be a Ranger. We were saying that in the middle of last season that he wanted to be a Ranger. So we basically got used to bump up the Rangers, you know, the Rangers price. I don't know. I don't know if we've got tradable assets, but will we actually make those moves? It's hard to say.
The thing for me that makes no sense is that if you look at this deal that I sort of dreamed up, and it doesn't really matter that much what the picks are, because you can sort of, you know, give and get a few picks here and there. But if you include Letty and Ovilier's rights or Hickey or something like that. Probably not Hickey and Letty in the same deal. But some expendable Islander that could be of use to another team, which we've already got into. And you think from the other team's perspective, okay, great, we were in cap trouble. We can't sign this player. We've just gotten a defenseman that we need, which is the case with a lot of these teams that have RFAs like Winnipeg and like Toronto. With Laine and Marner. And you think this is good for the Islanders because they're going to be in, if they signed Marner without getting rid of anybody, they're going to be in some serious cap trouble next summer trying to re-sign Barzal, Pulak, and Taves. But if you get rid of Letty and someone else's contract or rights, depending on who it is in the process, then you're looking at only like $6 million on the cap more, and it becomes easier to get by, especially when you look at Grice and Martin as the big names coming off the books next year. Mm-hmm. And you don't see Grice coming back. And if Martin came back, I don't see him coming back for the same amount of money. So you just think it makes so much sense for both teams. Why hasn't it happened?
Well, trades are hard, right? That's what everybody says. Trades are hard unless you're David Poyle in Nashville, and then you can trade anybody you want whenever you want. They have a lot of fun down there, but well, I mean, I think, you know, we've kind of touched on my topic too, so we'll kind of get into that too. But has Lou done enough over the summer? I think my answer is no. And I think for the reasons that you highlighted, Ben and Kenny also, like, we have too many holes. We're too bottom heavy now. Like, I kind of feel like, you remember the Rangers were making a run off of Lundqvist and their D, and they just didn't have the horses up front to really, you know, they had like their Stepans and Kreiders and stuff, but like they never had like that, like, nasty playmaker. I mean, even Nash, like, you can kind of say he was like that, but not really. I kind of feel like that's how we are now. Like, we've got a solid blue line. We've got a great system in place, but we just don't have the snipers. And we're not, if history says anything, you know, we're never going to sign the big free agent. It never happens. I tell everybody, July 1st is the worst day for me because it's always, you get so amped up. You think, oh, this is it. We're going to change now. We've got new owners. We've got the building coming. We've got, you know, Lamoriello, you know, Hall of Fame coach, Hall of Fame GM. Nothing changes. We're still, you know, we're still the redheaded stepchild to the Rangers. So, it bothers me because I think the only way we're going to improve this team is through trades. And I'm so surprised that we haven't made those moves yet and picked up. I mean, who is our, realistically, who is our 3C? Is it Casey Cizikas? Because if it is, then Tanner Fritz is your fourth line center this season. You want to go into the season with that? I don't. That's just, I mean, you've got Otto Koivula. They've got Bobo Carpenter. The other kid that they just signed out of college too, is that, I think Mason Jobst. I think it was him. But they've got a bunch. They've got a couple of kids that are going to be competing for this 3C spot / 4C. And I'm just saying, like, we couldn't find a guy out there to fit that need, that, you know, a tried and true ready NHLer with the assets we have. I mean, even if you did like a 1-for-1, like Hickey for, you know, teams are always looking to improve their bottom 2-1. I can't believe that there's nothing out there. That's what I think is driving me crazy this summer. I don't know. Maybe you guys have a different opinion, but I feel like, yeah, it's great. We're bringing all of our core team back minus Leonard, but how have we not improved this lineup?
I mean, Otto Koivula, I think, is the name that I would put as your third/fourth line center. Listen, in the NHL, you have to have a couple rookies in your lineup if you want to have those big name, you know, free agents. You want to trade for a guy like Marner getting paid $12 million a year. Everyone can't get paid $3 or $4 million a year. You have to have a couple guys on entry-level deals. And a guy like Otto Koivula, 6'5", 20 years old. He had a crazy good year in his first year of pro in North America, 21 goals, 25 assists, plus 14. He's responsible defensively. I mean, yeah, you could see him. I think he could definitely use another year in Bridgeport, but let's have him come up here. I mean, you let Filppula go, which I didn't really agree with. I wanted them to re-sign Filppula for at least 2 years. I think he wanted to go back to Detroit. So, you know, it is what it is, but Filppula had a crazy good year for us last year, surprisingly good. And that's definitely a hole. Cizikas, I think he's a third line center, but you know how obsessed they are with that fourth line and keeping them all together. At least when they're all healthy, they're all going to be on the fourth line. So a guy like Otto Koivula makes sense if you could add in that high level, you know, Marner or. Why not? I mean, how do you guys feel about trading for Nylander? I know he's a complete clown off the rink, definitely like the opposite of what Lou Lamoriello wants, but Toronto probably isn't happy. If they move Nylander, they could probably figure out a way to re-sign Marner, which is definitely what they want to do. But even if Toronto wanted to keep Marner, how would they do it? I mean, is it even possible without them moving a guy like Nylander? I can't see it happening. I mean, they're already over the cap and they haven't re-signed the guy who's going to get paid $12 million a year at least. So they got to move a guy like Nylander, and that guy would be I would love him with Barzal. It would be crazy. But like you said, I don't think he's like an Islander type guy. He seems like he's a little bit much off the rink, and you know, Lou Lamoriello won't even let you grow a beard. So it's, I just don't see. But you know what? Lamoriello knows these guys. If there's going to be any move, I think we have the inside track to it because our relationship with Toronto and their two GMs work together for so many years that I'm sure they text each other all the time, or at least have that direct line of communication. It's not like a team have no relationship with. That could be an advantage for us, but I don't know. I mean,
Chiarelli.
Yeah, I mean, Chiarelli like gifts us players. I mean, we could trade with who's GMing this year? Is he even like a GM or no?
No.
I pray Colorado gets him. Has Colorado signed someone yet or hired someone yet?
I don't know, actually.
Because if not, fingers crossed.
Well, yeah, what are they going to do? Trade us Nathan McKinnon for Bailey? I mean,
I don't think anybody's. I don't think anybody's hiring Chiarelli anytime soon. I mean, he gifted us. I mean, it's some of the greatest trades we've ever had with Chiarelli.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I think, and I'm trying to see. I don't know if I don't think Colorado's done anything. But I mean, Colorado, were they looking for a GM? Because isn't Sakic their GM?
Wait, so it wasn't Colorado.
It wasn't.
Might have been someone else.
That's what I was saying. Like, I'm like, what did I miss? No, it was. I know Minnesota was looking for a
Minnesota.
Little.
It was Minnesota. Yeah, it was Minnesota.
So you've got and I know like Minnesota. There were a couple names out there like Garth Snow was mentioned and
yeah,
Paul and Chiarelli and you know.
I don't know why I said Colorado. My bad.
No, it's all good. It's all good. Yeah. Look, going back to the Toronto thing, I like the idea of trading for Willie, but I don't know. I don't know if that's, you know, I don't know if that's going to happen. I feel like Lou's just like he's done with the Leafs and all that. I mean, I know they've got injury out of injured reserve. They've got right now, they've got Horton, Clarkson, Hyman, and Travis Dermott on injured reserve with like $13 million between all four of those guys. As their injured reserve. So I don't know. I'm pretty sure that they still have to make some moves to even get close to signing Marner. I mean, they can't, they're at like eight, their projected cap hit right now is $84,397.
Yeah.
I mean, so they're already over the cap basically. So I don't know how that's going to,
yeah. How are they going to resign him? Like how?
They got to make some moves. It's like, you know, everything right now is just blocked up. You know, there's no movement anywhere. So, you know, you're looking at the dominoes have to fall again. It starts with Toronto. They have to shed somebody.
Nylander is the guy. I mean, it has to be.
But Dubas promised. He promised that he wasn't going to do it. He was going to stay on the team.
Yeah. I don't know. If he wasn't going to be on the team, he still wouldn't say that though. He would probably still say that same thing. Like, oh yeah, he's going to be here. But I'm looking at their cap hits. The only guy that's significant enough for them to, even if they got rid of Nylander, they would still be in cap trouble signing a guy like Marner for $11 million, $12 million a year. That, you know, like, I just don't see how they're going to re-sign this guy. Like, it's going to be some crazy cap shenanigans. Like, this isn't like a Pittsburgh where they somehow always bring in a guy and they just somehow fit it in by having like three random guys on entry-level contracts that just rip it up. You know, like, Toronto's not in that position, man. Like, they just... I can't see them re-signing this guy. Like, they have to move him. Maybe that's why it's taken so long. Maybe they're listening to trade offers. And they're in a tough spot right now, but the Islanders could definitely take advantage of something like this. I'd be happy with either guy, you know?
I think you brought up some really good points. Bennett and Nylander, I think, are two guys that could definitely fit in with this team and kind of fill some holes that we need. Ben, you have anybody that you would you know target while we still have time before camp starts?
To me, I wanted to get a little bit actually go back really quickly into the 3C because I think about 3C, I feel like Lou wants to address top six first if he wants to address top six. I mean, God knows at this point, really. But to me, at least, because the cap hit problem would be in the top six and not in 3C. If we were to go into the season with a guy like Marner or even like a second tier target, like a Nugent Hopkins, and I mean, for Nugent Hopkins to be a second tier, I mean, it says all you need to know about Marner. Because, you know, Hopkins is a great player, of course. I think if we were to go into the season with that right winger, or it's a left winger, doesn't even matter, just the top six forward, and then you were to have Tanner Fritz as the fourth line center or Komarov as the fourth line center, I think worst things have happened. Would I be thrilled with it? No. But if we were to go and get that target, whoever would I be on the top six, then I'd be willing to sacrifice, you know, a bottom line forward signing because of it. And you could make that Koivula, and maybe it works out. And if it doesn't, then you can go to a veteran who might give up a stupid penalty with 3 minutes to go because that's Komarov's specialty. But but that's why I think there's been no movement on the 3C, 4C, whatever you want to call it. But also in terms of did Lou do enough, I have a theory, and I wanted to run it by you guys and see what you think. Because when Lou has been talking about since he come in about his plan and how there weren't enough guys for good enough prices that we didn't want to get off the plan. So do we think that there's a possibility that the plan has anything to do will coincide with Belmont, and that the reason why we're not going in is because we're going to wait and give these three RFAs that we have in Barzal, Pulak, and Taves next summer new contracts, go with the youth, and then next year is the year before Belmont, and then Belmont will kickstart this new Islanders that Lou has in store, and then we become a winning team and he can hand it off to somebody younger. Or do we think that this is something that I've just made up and won't affect?
I mean, I think that that's a possibility, although I would say then why, you know, if that were the case, then Malkin and Ledecky could have gotten any GM to basically kind of be their yes men and just kind of tread water until Belmont. I think they want to go into Belmont with a ton of momentum. I think they want to have a winning team already that is going to sell out those first couple of years and not necessarily say, okay, now we're here in this building, now we can start winning again. You know, I think it's more build the momentum now and hit Belmont, you know, hit the ground running with, you know, with gate receipts. And I mean, they're going to pack that place out if they've got a good team. And if they're, you know, they got to be careful, because if they don't, and the team is just kind of average, that's going to definitely squash some of the excitement for the arena. Not with the hardcore fans, obviously, but with, you know, everybody else. When you want to, you know, you want to grow your fan base by being good. I mean, that's just what happens. So I hear you, and I think that's certainly a possibility, and it's all about how you market when you get to Belmont. But I think they're in win now mode. I think that's why they brought in Lou. And that's, again, why I'm surprised that they haven't made any bigger moves to try to, you know, bring this, you know, get this team over the hump. But I don't know, Kenny, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I would be upset if they were like waiting to go to Belmont to make a move like that. I mean, I'm done waiting. Like, let's make the move now. Let's go in there as still the fifth best team in the league, at least, you know. I mean, we were great last year. We had an awesome season with a bunch of guys that we never thought could do this, you know? So now we have a coach and a system that allows these players to play up to their complete potential. So let's add a couple pieces in. Let's do it now. I mean, has he done enough? I it's hard for me to get on GMs. Like, you know how I feel about Gart Snow. I mean, I don't think he was that bad, and I don't think Lou's that bad. I mean, there's only one Panarin out there. It's not like there was four of them and we lost out on every single one. Like, there's only so many UFAs, and there's a reason why these guys go to unrestricted free agency. It's sometimes you get guys like Ladd, you know, where it's like, damn, I mean, yeah, he was a huge free agent signing, and maybe you did see it coming as far as like him wearing down, but teams let these guys go for a reason. It's not always they don't want to play there with the Columbus situation. So it's hard for me to blame Lou. I just don't know how much. There's 30 other teams, you know, there's 30 other teams in the league. So everyone's trying to do the same thing. And to think that the Islanders are just going to like grab every guy, it's just not going to happen, especially right on Long Island when you're competing against New York Rangers, who, you know, they're just like drunk with their money. They don't care. Everyone gets $3 million a year. It doesn't matter how bad you are. There's just, it's a different animal. And I don't think players really want to come here just yet. It's definitely going to change having Belmont be a thing now, and it's real. The shovel's in the ground. It's not, you know, pending approval or, you know, getting picketed by a bunch of rich people in Garden City or whatever. It's real. So I think that should, you know, definitely change things. But it's hard for me to get on Lou when at least the things he was in control of, he did well. I mean, me and you discussed in the offseason 100 times, if Eberle is going to come back, it's got to be on a discount. He did that. You know what I mean? Nelson, I think that's a fair contract. You know, Nelson, 2 years ago, I would have never said sign this guy for $6 million. But when he's getting coached under Trotz and not Capuano, it's a completely different animal. You know, maybe Lee is a little overpaid, but the guy's a football player on skates. He's super durable. So all the contracts that we've re-signed, I think were great. And those are things that Lou was in control of. If he would have, you know, fumbled a couple of those things, then it's like, you know, what are you doing, man? But there's one Panarin. I didn't think the Islanders were going to get him. Yeah, he's the perfect piece, but now you got to pull off a trade. And a couple of years ago, we were sitting like a week before training camp. We had Calvin DeHaan and like Chris Campoli as our defenseman. And next thing you know, Boychuk and Letty come in, and it's like completely changes the landscape of the season. So I think that things like that could definitely still happen. But it's hard for me to get on GMs when I just don't know enough about like the day to day, and they're competing against 30 other guys who are also really good at their jobs with, you know, assets too. And we don't know what the other teams think of our assets. Yeah, we think that Beauvillier is awesome and Nick Leddy is like, you know, valuable. I mean, Nick Leddy is a good defenseman. He just doesn't fit with what we're doing here. Like, even if Ryan Pulock was our first unit power play quarterback for 82 games and struggled the same way, I would still have the same feeling about him. Like, you got to just, it's not fitting. So if Nick Leddy's not going to play shutdown D and do all the other little things, which he's really not that good at, and he's not doing the power play, which he's been thrust into that position for years now, maybe it's not Nick Leddy. Maybe it's Scott Gomez, who I'm surprised is still here as the power play coach. I mean, well, he wasn't even a Trotz. They did? Okay. Worst podcast guy ever. Okay, so they got rid of him. I'm lost at this point.
No, they didn't get rid of him. It's not your fault. It's very ambiguous. They brought in another coach because they thought that Lane Lambert was going to get the job in Anaheim, and he didn't.
I think he's going to sit in the press box with Gus Snow.
Listen,
because I think Snow is still on his contract, just not as a GM. Yeah.
I think Gart Snow is a guy you got to keep. I mean, his drafts have been very good. I mean, the Islanders have built their whole
team. I don't know about that.
Save it for next week because I'll rip you up.
This segment's kind of running long, so I'll leave it at this. Here's where I'm the most surprised with Lou is everybody was talking about, like, you listen to every other podcast and everything else on Twitter, and it's like, oh, Owls are going big game hunting, right? So they don't get Panarin. Okay. They do nothing else? Here's why I find hard to believe. Option one, the Islanders get Panarin, and it changes the entire forward group. Or option two, we do nothing, and we bring up the youth. I mean, now I'm all for that. Don't get me wrong. I want to see Wahlstrom. I want to see Bellows in Islanders uniforms like sooner rather than later. I don't think that's going to happen. So that's where I'm confused is you go from going after the best free agent available to then just basically doing nothing. And I find it hard to believe that plan A is make this big splash. Plan B is fill in the roster with what we have already. They seem very, very opposite. Again, I'm all for it. And if that's what the plan is, hey, we shoot for Panarin. If we don't get him, we have a good crop of young players and it's time to start, you know, bringing them up. I'm all for it. If Koivula gets a fair shot, if Bellows gets a fair shot, because he's a sniper. He's the guy that's going to get the puck and rip it on the power play. You saw that last year in training camp. So I'm all for those things if they happen. But if we're filling those gaps with the Leo Komarovs, the Andrew Ladds, the Tom Kunackles, then your fourth line is basically, you know, it's fodder for, you know, you just basically, okay, go grind out 30 seconds so we can get our other three lines back out there. And I don't think that's a recipe that's a winning recipe. I just think that that's something that we could do better and we should be doing better because we have assets to move. So that's how I feel. I mean, I don't know if what you guys would prefer, if you'd rather build from within and the youth or go after people. And maybe that's going to change our opinions on what, you know, whether Lou had a good summer or not. But That's kind of how I feel is let the message be clear. Then let us know what's going on, as opposed to just, you know, shooting for the moon, and then you don't get the bread man, and now you do nothing.
You know, it's hard because you look at exactly what you said is opposite side of the spectrum, and you, I'm with you. I loved the idea of getting Panarin. I love the idea of going with the youth. Obviously there's, it's complicated and it's difficult and it's a little, you know, makes me a little bit nervous because you don't know what's going to happen, but I'm all for it. Just like you. But then you look at, there's so much in between, and that's where it's confusing. And you're like, what's going to happen? What should happen? What's going on inside the Islanders front office? And so at least to my mind, and I think from what we've talked about, you guys would be in agreement that the sort of short answer to did Lou do enough over the summer is not yet.
That's fair. That's very fair. Summer's not over. So
I agree. I agree completely.
Not yet.
I mean, listen, I mean, a guy like, who's to say a guy like Wahlstrom or Bellows doesn't come in and, you know, help the power play out. I mean, listen, if the Islanders had an average power play last year, it's a completely different team. We had the worst power play in the league. I don't care if we weren't dead last. We were the worst power play in the league because if you look, the Islanders are the fifth best team in the league. That's, I feel like us Islander fans, we like forget about that. I mean, that was under a new system, a new coach. These guys are comfortable. They all wanted to come back for discounts. Everyone's bought in. And the people that are worried about Lehner leaving, you just don't know hockey. You just don't. Because if 2 years ago you would have said to me, you know, if I would have asked you, hey, the Islanders are going to sign a free agent, a goaltender, we're going to get Varlamov or Lehner. Nobody was going to say Lehner, okay? Everyone said Lehner sucked. He was on, you know, he was on two bad teams with no offense his entire career. And I said that he would be a perfect Islander last year as a one-year contract because the guy's never really had an opportunity. Now, Varlamov, you know, yeah, he's a little inconsistent, but, you know, Colorado has been just as inconsistent as a team, and I don't think it's his fault. I mean, every other year they're in the playoffs or they're not making the playoffs. It's like, what, now they're like, you know, they're coming around, but for the past 5 years they've been up and down, and I don't think it's his fault. Obviously, this wasn't really a topic, and we could probably touch on it again next week, but the Varlamov play was a longer term play for our best asset in Sorokin. They have the same agent. Grice leaves next year. Sorokin's contract ends this year. You have him come in under, you know, one of the best goalie coaches in the league. Look what he did with Lehner. Who's to say that Varlamov isn't going to take another step? And the guy has just as much skill as Lehner. I watch him play. His movement is phenomenal. When he's on, he's on. The Islanders don't give up bad scoring. They don't give up breakaways. They're structured. A guy like Varlamov might not be a Vezina candidate, but he's gonna keep us in games and win us games. It's not a loss. So, I mean, what are you going to do? The rumors were that Lehner didn't want to resign or they didn't give him an offer. The Islanders offered him 2 years for $5 million, I heard. Then he signed for one in Chicago. I don't know what the deal is. But to be honest with you, Lehner had a good year last year, but the guy got beat with a lot of shots from the outside, clear cut. He's good through traffic and down low because his positioning and his size, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if Varlamov had just as good numbers as him. Grice had just as good of numbers as him. So it's the system, you know? It's not – we don't have a guy standing on his head. This isn't Carey Price in Montreal where they get outplayed and they win games. That's not what Lehner did last year, and I feel like Islander fans think that because it's a real easy on a surface to just look at stats and look at rankings, and if you don't watch the games and the quality of scoring chances and the opportunities he gives up, I think it was a good move, and it was a longer term play to have a relationship with his agent, which is a guy you want to sign in the NHL to a contract. And Sorokin, who is the best goalie not in the NHL right now, not Shestorkin, Rangers fans. Sorry, that's no, he's not the same. It's not the same.
Bait me, bro.
Yeah, listen, I'll bring any Ranger fan friend, and they have no chance. It's just not even like a thing, but. I get it. You know, Shestorkin's good too, but Sorokin is a real stud, man. So to have that relationship. I think it's a long-term play, and we all want to see Sorokin here as our as the Islanders' future goaltender. We haven't had a goaltender since DiPietro as like the guy, and obviously that didn't work out. So,
yeah,
I mean, did he do enough? I think he did enough so far. If he doesn't land a big free agent in a trade, can I be mad that we're bringing back the same team, maybe plus a guy like Dobson, Koivulaiser 3C, Bellows, Wahlstrom? I mean, the Islanders, I think, would be a better team with those guys interjected without him having to make moves. You know, I don't think every offseason you need to make moves. That's just my opinion. But maybe I'm not hard enough on the GMs, because, you know, I'll share my opinion on Gartz, though. Maybe we'll do a little thing on that next, you know. But it's how much control do they have? You know, it's easy to sit back and be like, you should have got this guy. Well, I'm sure the guy tried. Sure. You know, I mean, Lou Lamoriello, if there's any one guy you could kind of bet on that is doing his job day to day, it's him. You know, the guy.
You look at his offer for Panarin.
Yeah. What are you going to do? I mean, the Rangers are going to win a battle like that every time. It's just different.
But shouldn't he know that, right? Like, that's
he's not going to be involved at all. Like, would that be, you know, come on.
But realistically, if you know, and he knows the division, he knows.
Well, they overpaid for him, bro. So I think that was a good thing.
Everybody knew that, right? Like, everybody knew that going into it. His heart was always going, he wanted to play in a big city. Okay. Nassau County is not the big city.
Manhattan. I think you're looking at it as like half full instead of half, you know, half empty instead of half full. Yeah. And this is what I mean by that. The Islanders were in it, and I know that you said, you know, they were in it to bump up their contract and make more money. But look, the Rangers overpaid for Panarin. Panarin's good. He doesn't have the guys around him to pass in the puck like that. They have Zibanejad. That's it. The Rangers have the worst centers in the league by far. We're worried about 3C. Nelson would be a first-line center there. So yeah. It's like we're in much better shape than people think. And losing Panarin.
They'll finish higher than us, though. Watch.
Oh, of course.
Everybody will pick them.
Yeah, whatever that Larry Brooks bum. Yeah. You know, he's drunk, that guy, and just writes the dumbest stuff. So
well, look, like,
I want to be those people again. I want to be that team. I want to be the prove people wrong again. I think it makes us better.
You're right. No, you're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
Us bringing back the same squad makes you feel like that. You know, we didn't have to go outside. These guys are all like, we're staying together. Let's do this. 103 points, guys, with the worst power play in the league. Am I crazy to say if the Islanders had the 15th ranked power play, we could have won the present. I mean, maybe not last year because Tampa Bay was absurd.
Yeah, nobody was winning the president's leg.
Yeah, I get that. But top three? Top two?
Probably.
Come on. That's not unrealistic. 10 extra points.
Division winners.
Division winners for sure, dude. It changes.
So does that mean that we get swept in the first round instead of
Yeah.
Well, look, you talked about the Rangers, so I think it's a good segue into the penalty box, which is when we basically pick whatever we want to be kind of like the loser of the week, if you will. We'll say it that way. It could be a player, it could be an entity, it could be an inanimate object if you want. So my vote this week for the penalty box happens to go to the NHL for speaking of Robin Lehner, putting that on Masterton Trophy, they had that he played for the New York Rangers this season instead of the New York Islanders. I love that happened, because that just when everybody on Twitter wants to know why Islander fans have a chip on their shoulder and why they get pissed at this or that, there you go. That's the exact reason why. Like, really? You didn't know that he played for the Isles? So anyway, the NHL, they're in the penalty box for me this week. I don't know if you guys have any nominees. I know it's been kind of a quiet week, but.
I have one.
Okay.
Yeah. So before I go, I want to quickly introduce a petition. I want a petition to give their two names for this segment. First, the penalty box, and also the super dump, because the super dump should go to the penalty box all the time, and it should never come out of the penalty box. It should be a nominee every single week and should not leave.
I'm okay.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I like it. I like it. Chip and chase, overspeed. We can all of that. All of that can go. Let's give up possession. The analytics people will love that. No, I think that's a good. I think that's a good one. I don't know if I've ever heard it called Super Dump before.
Yeah, it's like no. The Super Dump. The Super Dump is not chip and chase. The Super Dump on the power play, where everyone goes.
Where Pelech doesn't chip it out, and then they score, and then Damon texts me.
The non-breakout breakout. Okay. When that the forward
drops it to Barzal, and no one has any momentum. And it,
yeah. Like, oh my god, I hate that. That is the oh my god, dude. Listen, Nick Leddy could be one of the best defensemen in the league if you just would skate the puck in, like, yeah. Just use your assets. And I don't care if the coach tells you not to, like, that's what you were born to do, man. Like, that's not teachable, okay? Like, that's just something that people can't practice, and they can't. It is what it is, man. That's what makes him special. And if he was a guy that would just lug the puck into the other team's zone and dish it off to Pulak, but for some reason he has like this hatred against passing the puck to Pulak, and even when he does, he can't pass it in the right spot. Like, I play hockey, okay? I can make that pass, and I'm sitting in Quorum right now on a freaking milk carton on a desk right now, and I can pass the puck better than Nick Leddy on the power play. So there's no excuse why that's why it's frustrating with a guy like that. So I feel like I want to put Nick Leddy in the penalty box just for no reason. It doesn't even start yet, but he's already in the penalty box with me.
I'm sensing the team. Just wait for the season to begin.
He's going to be an all-star this year, and I'm going to be the dumbest person, dude. That's going to happen.
We'll just skip you if you want. I mean, if you want to just say Nick Leddy will be in the penalty box for the entire season, and then you never even have to worry about it. I mean, I can see that being a thing. So
I have no problem saying I'm wrong. You know, like, I trashed Nelson and Bailey. I think maybe all of us did, like, at some point. But
no,
at some,
no.
Oh, okay. Maybe no. With you with Bailey. I give you that you always rode with Bailey. But that was just like – that. All right, relax, guys. You don't know anything.
But everyone was there with Nelson. With Nelson, everyone was there.
Yeah. No, that I agree with 100%.
He scored 29 goals. And he
once October ended anyway.
Yeah. No, yeah, exactly. He was sick in March and April every time, you know, but I have no problem saying, wow, I was wrong. And Nick Leddy, I feel like, I mean, listen, dude, just in the off season, just take slap shots, like, get better, dude. Like, Crosby had no shot coming into the league, and I know Crosby's a freak and can, like, do everything.
No, that's just work on it.
He doesn't even work on it. Like, Nick Leddy was downstairs.
I was downstairs shooting at the washing machine.
Yeah, Nick Leddy needs to get a dryer. We should buy a dryer and send it to his house with some pucks and a stick and be like, dude, shoot a bunch because you gotta be better, dude. I'm sorry, you gotta be better. You gotta. It's not even that hard. Like, you don't even need a hard shot. It's not like I'm looking for him to blow the puck by the goalies. Hey, man, shoot it knee height on a one-timer. Lee's in front of the net battling, killing himself for you to what? Dish it off on the opposite foot that you should be passing to every time.
What happened when he shot the puck against the Penguins?
Yeah.
Yep.
Broke the tie 5 minutes to go.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, he only does it when Tate's
like not his shot. It's his decision making.
Yeah. He should not be the power play one quarterback.
He's not a power play quarterback.
He's just not. I think we all agree with that. And it blows my mind that, I mean, look, we're obviously not in the game here. So, we're doing a podcast, but for Barry Trotz to put him right back in the same spot, like, I don't care if it's Gomez or anybody, whoever's running the power play, they were really, like, weird with that. Last year, like, they're like, oh, he's not actually the power play coach. So everybody says he is, but, like, we don't really know. But at the end of the day, Trotz has the final say, right? And he's like, oh, yeah, cool. No, keep going out there.
They interjected Taves, though.
They did. But how did they not have Pulak? I mean, you make a good point, Kenny, about
he's
not having
too
Pulak.
Many
yeah.
Too many
yeah,
minutes.
And I, you know, honestly, I never considered that, but that's a really good point. I'd still rather have the goals. And then, you know, I'd be okay with having maybe two bonehead icing by Pelech.
Such big minutes, man. He was our best defenseman last year. He was our first. He was, dude, listen, Pulak is probably one of the most underrated defensemen in the entire league. The guy is a man child. He's like, he's a beast, dude. Like, he doesn't lose battles along the boards. Okay. Even if he's on the power play, just standing there, you have to respect his shot. Every time you got to have a guy on him. All he has to do is shoot the puck one time on the power play, and every other possession and every other power play you have for the rest of the game opens up space for everyone else to do their thing. And that's why I think a guy like Wallstrom has, he plays that half boards, and he's got, he's, you know, he's not Ovechkin or Stamkos, but dude, he has that gift where it's just, he has that one timer. It's lethal, man. And having two guys like that opens up space now for Bailey to get fancy, Lee to do his thing in front of that Barzell, you know, Eberle. It's, we have assets. It's just, we're missing. It's not even like we're missing the pieces. We have the pieces. We just need to readjust things, you know, like you got to get off this Nick Leddy thing, but he's so bad everywhere else. Like, where are you going to put him? He, like, I feel like he would hurt the Islanders more playing on a penalty kill than him being out there and like us not scoring a power play goal.
He could be a 5-on-5 minute eater because of his skating ability. That's fine. I'm fine with that. I just don't want to see him. And I'm fine with him getting 30 seconds of power play time. I'm not good with him getting a minute 15 to a minute 30.
Kulak comes out there for 30 seconds. They dump the puck. He has no time to set anything up. But when Kulak's out there and does get a chance, the guy creates stuff, man. Like, listen, when you're game planning against the Islanders power play as a penalty kill in the opposite team, it must be like, they must laugh. Like, there's no like, guys, let's focus here. It's like, well, all right. You know, like, I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, I don't see any threat. Like, I watch a lot of hockey.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's no threat. There's no, you know, I don't know. So I'm going to
know that this was going to trigger you again.
Hate Nick Leddy. I'm sorry. I just do. But I want him to be awesome. And I'll say that I was wrong, you know, in 5 months from now when he's ripping it up and he's in the All-Star game. That would be awesome. But I would also just be like, he's a sick asset to trade, probably, and that would be my angle. So
it's true.
Be prepared for that.
So I take it that Nick Leddy is going in your penalty box, at least for this week, and probably for the rest of eternity.
Well, I'm going to put him in the penalty box just this week, and then I'm going to give him an opportunity to, like, maybe work on some things because he looks the same. I mean, Boychuk being, like, the same is good because everyone kind of wrote him off 3 years ago. I think the guy had a great year last year, and he's definitely got at least 3 or 4 years left in him. At the end of that contract, he's going to be completely spent, but he's a great locker room guy, and a guy like Pulak takes pressure off him from playing top minutes. So Boychuk was great last year, man. Super reliable.
Yeah.
You know, he steps up in big games. He's emotional. I like to see that, you know, like
I love Johnny Rockets, man. Johnny's a beast, dude.
I love him, man. Like, I love that guy, and it's just—it's a shame that a guy who's 5 years younger get—you know—it's just, come on, you just be better, dude. Just be better.
They're built differently, though. Like, you know, Boychuk's all about the shot. He's a stay-at-home guy. You know, like he, you know, they bring very different things to the table. That's why when they both came over at the same time, it was like Boychuk was you know, hey, I'll flip the puck to Leddy. Leddy will leg it up the rink, and we'll be out of here. You know, and when they're back in their own zone, you know, you knew Johnny was going to clear the puck because he was, you know, just stronger on the puck and stronger in front of the net. So they're very different type of players. I think you need that good makeup. The problem is we've got other Nick Leddys on the team now that are younger and cheaper. Dave. That's ultimately the problem, right? Like, so, yeah. I mean, the guys that we've mentioned, but
for the listeners, I think you can tell that we have some opinions on Nick Leddy. So if you want to, we'll give you some ways to contact us at the end. So if you want to tell us, and if you want us to start a GoFundMe to send Nick Leddy a washing machine or a dryer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll get on that 100%.
Oh, that would be the greatest thing ever.
I feel like Mayfield's game got stepped up by Boychuk. You can see how he's better, knowing when to pinch in. That's Mayfield was so good at that this year.
Yeah.
When he dumped to get a shot on net, and he always gets the shot on net. It's crazy. And it's like they all learn from each other. Like Pelech learned some pinching stuff from Boychuk, and then Pulak learned how to actually get his amazing shot on net from Mayfield, maybe. I mean, it like, we could talk for ages about how this team clicks, but
and they're all big. They're all big, man. Like, and it's nice to have that little advantage. And they're all mobile too. Like, it's nice to have big mobile defensemen because when the playoffs come, it's a different game. You need guys like that. Yeah, it's cute having everyone like zip around, but when the playoffs come, you need guys like Mayfield. You need guys like Boychuk, Pelech, Pulak, Dobson. They're all 6'2 plus. They're monsters, dude. Like, that's so sick. Bodie Wild, 6'4. monsters, man.
I can't wait for him.
Monsters, dude.
But look, like, we'll have plenty of shows before anything actually happens where we can. Yeah,
training camp starts in a month and a half, month and a week, right? So I mean, yeah, we're close.
Just about. Well, I wanted to get to some news roundup here before we cut out of here, and just, you know, kind of touch on a few things going around, not just in Islander land, but also just around the league. We'll start with the Isles, of course. This might be just warning, trigger warning. This might be another one that gets Kenny going. So Ryan Compton this week tweeted that Clutterbuck and Ladd are both skating.
I mean, Brian Compton, he should have responded to a couple of my Facebook messages. I just didn't do it because he's so big time, but I don't know. I mean, listen, you know how I feel about Ladd. I think that when he's healthy, he's great. He's very good along the boards. He's physical. He has a Nelson-like shot when, you know, he's not going to create anything on his own, but when he's set up, the guy can score. It's a shame that he's not healthy because I think he would be great on a wing with any of the top two lines. The guy could play. It's just unfortunate that he's fallen apart. Clutterbuck, it's a little bit more, I feel like, playing that style that he plays at the size that he is naturally and his age, it's just catching up with him.
Yeah.
And we're overpaying him now. That was a Garth mistake. You know, Garth loves his guys that he, you know, gets attached and that's just a casualty of that. But I still think, you know, this is my optimistic look at it. The Islanders have the best fourth line in hockey when they're healthy. And but that chemistry.
The fourth line, or are they their third line now? Because realistically, the minute.
Well, now that you don't have
Philpula. You can call them a fourth line, but they're not really. They're the third line.
Without Philpula, you might be right. And the only. No, you know what? No. Because the only person that's a real third liner. The person that would hold them back from being a real third line is Martin. His skill level is not what Clutterbuck and Cizikas are, which even Clutterbuck, I think, is probably a fourth liner in the NHL at this point. Cizikas is the only guy that could be a third line center. You know, he's still getting better, Casey. Clutterbuck is not getting better. Martin is not getting better. They're on the downslope of their careers. And a guy like Clutterbuck, it's frustrating because he plays 15 games and he's out for 15 games and he plays 15. And it's like, it's more of like a disruption than it is like an asset at this point. So
he plays a heavy game though. So I mean,
he does, right. and he gets under people's skin, and that's, I love that, you know, like I love the game within the game. You know, you can't have a bunch of Baileys and Nelsons out there, like just a bunch of mimes, like staring at people, just getting dummied around. You got to stand up for yourself and you got to get involved in other ways. And he's a guy that does that. You know, he disrupts things. And
Do you take Clutterbuck and Martin and throw Koivula in the middle of them and have them actually stay the fourth line and move Casey up? Do you guys do that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Force him to play physical. Force that kid to jump in. Use your body. 6'5", dude, 200 pounds. We're not gonna play like Brock Nelson. Like, you gotta play physical. So it forces him to play a style that he might not do if he's a third liner on a guy, you know, a bunch of skilled wingers on his wing. But I think that's a good move because it spreads.
And you get
out
like Cizikas and Beauvillier and Komarov or something.
I like that. And Bogili is a perfect third liner. But you don't like Komarov? David doesn't like either. I like Komarov. I think he does all the things. Yeah, all right. Minus the money.
Minus the money, he's still taking up roster spot that Wahlstrom or Bellows. Would you rather have Wahlstrom or Bellows?
Yeah, I'd rather have Wahlstrom, Beauvillier, and Cizikas. Like, oh, that's such a great third line.
And that could be our third line, and who's to say that won't be? I mean, Komarov can play center too.
Yeah, I would take Komarov centering if Koivula centering Cizikas and Martin if Koivula is not ready. That's why I was saying, like, for me, the fourth line center isn't like that big a deal. If you're adding a top six forward, and then you can say, all right, the third line is going to be Beauvillier, Cizikas, and Wahlstrom or
so
Bellows.
So Wahlstrom would be your top six that would be added to that?
Or no, I'd put, I mean, if
or Bellows, do you think Bellows is ahead of Wahlstrom?
I would say that I'd want it to be Hosang but I don't know. We could talk about
hosting. I think that'd be perfect.
Wait for next week with hosting.
No,
yeah.
Did you read Staples' article on The Athletic this week about hosting?
Yes. I read a little bit of it, but then I didn't want to download the app, so I read a paragraph and I loved it. I get what you were saying. Right. Yeah.
Ben, did you read it?
I need to get to it. I've been away. It's actually 12.
Yeah, that's 30, true. Ben, yeah, in the morning. Ben's across the pond, so he's doing.
What are you doing over there?
I'm with my friend. We'll get to this a little bit later in our sort of outro of Get to Know Us, which is just coming up. But I'm also a huge soccer fan. So I just saw a game in Manchester with my friend. So that was pretty awesome. Also awesome because my team beat his team 4-0. But
yeah, I saw that. I saw somebody got smoked. I just didn't know if it was your team or not. So
yeah, my team did the smoking.
That's awesome. Well, I'll just touch on the Hosang article. It was basically Staple interviewed like four of his old coaches, and it was kind of interesting to see that like all of them said that they would want him on their team. And I think the head coach of Windsor, I think he had McDavid and Hosang on the same team. And he was saying how like Hosang had more natural ability and talent than even Connor McDavid, but Connor McDavid knows how to make his teammates better, where Hosang just doesn't. It was really interesting, and it just like everybody's take on kind of what we, you know, as Islander fans, we see with Hosang and what frustrates us and kind of keeps him off the roster. It was interesting to see like his coaches, kind of talk about that too. So I think for sure, this is a make or break camp for Hosang, and I'm sure we'll get into that later. Before camp starts. I want to real quick touch on the Sabres uniforms, the 50th anniversary. Did you guys see those?
Yeah, I like them. I think they're cool.
Oh man. The white gloves. I got into it with the
Golden
Knights. I got into it with the Golden Knights Twitter feed also about that, cause they were throwing shade on them, but that's another topic. And then real quick. So Franz Nielsen and Weird Franz Filppula are both on the Red Wings this season. So something had to give. So Franz Nielsen is no longer number 51. He's 81, which I just think is weird. I don't know.
It's weird, but it's a class move to give Filppula 51 before he retires.
Yeah, for sure.
I really wanted Filppula. I wanted him back so bad. He played. He was so good last year, man. He was nasty. He's nasty, dude.
I would have overpaid him, honestly, to come back one more year.
I said, I would have given him 3.5 for 2 years. And the guy's got 2 years of hockey left in him. Everyone's like, no, you don't play like that. The way he did, the goals he was scoring, these were not cheap goals. He was straight up dancing around people. And the guy is, you know, the new NHL, he's going to have a couple more years left in him. If it was 10 years ago, I'd say he's done, but it's completely different now. And the guy's a great player.
Yeah, it's going to hurt losing him, but we'll see how we'll see how he does in Detroit this year. And I have a feeling this is his last year. I think he wanted to go back to Detroit and just play one more year and then kind of, you know,
hang out. Yeah, I can't believe
this, but that's my take. All right. Well, look, obviously we ran a little bit longer than expected because this was our first, our first episode. We had a lot to talk about. I think we'll probably keep it a little bit closer to an hour moving forward. Once the games start, though, I don't know. Then it's all bets are off. So before we leave, just to kind of, you know, get everybody listening, give them a little taste of, you know, who we are and how we became fans and things. We're just going to kind of talk a little bit about ourselves real brief so that you guys can get to know us a little bit better. So, Ben, you want to start off since it's latest where you are?
yeah, no problem. So, the first question we wanted to get into was how did you become an Islanders fan? And for me, I'm a first generation hockey fan. I came across my dad was a soccer brother who's older than me, was also a soccer fan, never liked hockey. I sort of came across it with my friends. And then I live in Rhode Island, so I'm in Bruinstown. And I remember in seventh grade, I did a radio show. And one time I invited my two friends on who were both Leafs fans, which you know, we're not really friends anymore, but, you know, that's beside the point. And I remember this was the year that McDavid was drafted. And my friend, we were in seventh grade, and my friend accidentally said that McDavid, confusing the blue and orange, played for the Islanders, which was like a seventh grade quality mistake. And I knew it, but I didn't want to correct her on air. It was one of those live things. And I remember walking on the shows, and I was like, screw it, I'm going to root for the Islanders. And it's a stupid, stupid story, but, you know, that year was the year of the Panthers series. And over the course of that year, I went from, you know, checking the scores to trying to watch every game that I could to pretending I was asleep when I was really watching overtime and then double overtime. And then, like, trying to scream but not scream when Tavares scored the goal. And then, you know, by this point, I'm that guy that, you know, watches every game. Homework can wait. All that can wait. It's going to be a little bit harder being a junior in high school next year, but, you know, I guess something's going to have to give, and it's not going to be the Islanders.
Well, there you go. There you go. Well, Ben, I know you're a little bit younger than Kenny and I. Kenny and I have had lots of years of misery. I had the fortune of being born right after we won our four cups. So I've suffered through the 90s and being in high school and middle school in the 90s when you're an Islanders fan. The fish sticks era, it's rough. It's rough. Oof. You got to see your Devils fans, friends winning cups. You got to see the Rangers win a cup, and you just kind of sat there, you know, start playing Hello Darkness, My Old Friend in your head. So, so it's good. You haven't had the years of misery yet, which is a good thing. That's why we wanted a fresh voice on here that, you know, you're going to bring some, I think, a different opinion on some things because you haven't really had to sit through the Spano years and the misery years like some of us have. So you'll probably be
maybe some less more optimism. We'll see.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was getting. A little bit more optimism.
Yeah. Clearly. Okay. I guess I'll go now. Yeah. Basically, hockey was the sport I loved to play growing up. My dad basically. Both my parents, my mom and dad, both got me into watching the Islander games. Obviously, they were huge Islander fans in the 70s, 80s, and that must have been fun for them. So they were super enthusiastic still when I was young. I was born in 86, and I remember watching, you know, Islander games on, like, almost a black and white crappy TV in my, like, playroom that we had, you know, super poor. But, you know, I was always very loyal to it, and I saw my dad's passion for it, and, you know, he would always, you know, tell me, hey, you know, you should have seen, you know, Brian Trottier play and Bossy and, you know, all Potvin and Billy Smith and Bobby Nystrom, all these like legends, and he was like so passionate about it and loved it, and I just wanted to like feel that same thing about my team. Obviously it was different. He was watching them win cups and stuff, but I'm a pretty loyal person, and it was definitely difficult going to school. I remember crying in fourth grade when I had to go to school and the Rangers won the cup. I didn't want to go. That's how devastating I was. That's how much I hated the Rangers. I literally cried, and then we would go to New Jersey to, you know, visit family for like a family, you know, cousins party every year. And obviously they're winning cups, and, you know, it was just like, I couldn't even talk hockey with these people because they would just laugh about how the Islanders were so bad. And then, you know, it was so many years of just complete, just, we were a joke, you know, with Charles Wang and then Gart Snow being the GM after being a goalie like 10 minutes before that. So it was just weird. And, but I always loved my team. I really started really, really paying attention, like hardcore, in 2007 when Gart took over and we started doing the whole rebuild. I got really obsessed with the draft and prospects and the potential of all these guys. And I remember, reading Islanders Point Blank, which I'm sure a bunch of listeners will, you know, that's what made me a huge fan, honestly, is seeing Chris Botta's like opinion like on things. And he was very close to the team. And, you know, he was talking about Matt Martin and, you know, all these guys before they were anything, Lee. And I was, you know, I could see the potential. And I just, you know, I'll argue with anybody and share my opinion on anything with anybody, especially Ranger fans. So I'm just sitting back telling them all about all these guys, wait 5 years, just wait and see, you know, and then you draft Tavares and things just didn't go the way it was, you know, supposed to go. But the past couple of years, I really can't complain, especially having a new arena now. I think it's going to be awesome. And I think we're in a great position as far as like prospects, cap wise, like is whatever your opinion on Garth was, he left us in a real good position. You know, think of what he took over, you know, when he took the team over in 07, the only prospect we had was Kyle Oposo, and that guy sucks worse than Letty. So, I mean, he didn't really have much. Oh God, stop it. Stop it. Stop right now.
Dion Phaneuf ruined him. Dion Phaneuf.
Is that what it was? Yeah. In the preseason.
Open ice chump hit. So, and I will argue that till I'm 6 feet under. That's I guess I'll take the torch from here. You know, same thing, Kenny, like you, you know, my parents are huge Islander fans. My dad really got me into the game. And same thing with my uncle. My first hockey memory, I was 2 years old. I was wearing a little Pat LaFontaine jersey and went to the Coliseum and we lost to the Washington Capitals in overtime. And I went home crying. And I think tears are going to be a pretty recurring thing here because we all kind of knew maybe mistakes were made at some point. But no, I love the Islanders, and you know, it was rough. But if to me, if you stuck with them through all those years, now things are going to be real sweet. You know, new ownership, it's a whole new direction. The team finally is heading in a direction that I think everybody's on board with, which is awesome. So that's great. So yeah, I've just been a diehard, you know, Islanders fan and hockey fan my whole life. In fact, that's how I know Kenny is we've played hockey together for years. We used to run camps together and everything. So we've run some fun camps. Anyway, so
dodgeball.
He laughs because we had some fun times, but we had some good hockey players come out of those camps. But you know, but yeah, I was born in 84, so I really, you know, I was born at the end of the dynasty, and hopefully I can, you know, live long enough to see another one, or at least one cup would be nice.
You know what makes me think of that, dude? Not to cut you off, but remember that guy Matt that used to work in the snack bar? Little guy?
Yes. He used to work for the Islanders. He worked for the Islanders, didn't he?
Yeah. So what made me even a bigger fan, I remember, was it was the playoffs. It was the day before Game 6 against Toronto. And he asked me, he's like, I got an extra ticket. Do you want to come to the game? So I asked my mom if I could go. I go with him to the game.
That was the 0-1 play you're talking about,
yeah,
right?
It was the most wild game. I mean, I'd never seen people so amped up. I mean, just walking into the arena through the parking lot, people wearing like, you know, like had dolls with like Tuckers, like, you know, like a noose on them. It was like crazy. These people were psyched. I mean, it was a dirty series, you know, leading up to that. And then game 6, I remember the Islanders won. We sat last row. We had to literally like bend down in our seat, you know, those seats in the Coliseum in the corner where you can't see.
Yeah,
the
and you're up against the concrete. So yeah, the sound is reverberating and it's, yeah. Dude,
I'm not joking. It sounds fake, but the entire game, from the minute you walked in to the minute you left, the volume we're speaking at to each other right now, you couldn't hear anything. You had to literally scream in the person's ear. When they scored a goal, there was just beer. It's like people were losing their minds. And then I remember Eric Cairns beat up Tucker.
Beat up Corson. I think he fought them all. That was like Steve Webb too, wasn't it?
And he did like the finger up, like number one to the fans. Like, dude, it was. And you know what's funny? Last year, I was at an Islander Ranger game at the Garden, and he was behind me. And I ended up I didn't want to be like, oh, what's up? Right before they let us walk, you know, in between the whistles, I just turned around to him and was like, dude, I was there game 6. That was awesome. And he's like, you were there? Like, he was just like pumped, you know, that I didn't like bother him. I'm like, dude, you're the man. It was just like so cool. Like, I never forget that game. And it's the energy. It's, when they score, I mean, you never heard an arena that loud in your life. It was like crazy. And that's just like, I'll never forget that as like a young Islander fan. But you made me think of it when you mentioned the camp and like working at the sports arena. And yeah, I've known you for a long time.
Yeah, I know for sure. And I can touch on that too, because I was in the, I went to the Pittsburgh series, not this, not last season, but when we played them a few years ago, and I sat in those same seats up in the, up at the end, and I flew in for the game. I live in Florida now. I flew up for the game and then flew back right after the game, and my ears were still ringing on the flight. Like, it was the loudest I've ever heard a building, and I will never forget that. So
I hope they built Belmont like that. You know,
they are, they're building it with a low ceiling, and good. Yeah, I'm sure we'll touch on that, but, I think we're gonna call it for this episode. Ben's, you got a flight that you got to catch pretty soon here, so we'll try to end this here. But you know, I think for first episode, you know, I'm real happy with the way things turned out, and I think, you know, for listeners, you know, you expect an episode from us every week. Obviously, we'll have a lot more to cover and a lot more to talk about that's more relevant as the games begin and as the season gets started. But if you guys have any comments, any questions, you can hit us up on Twitter. Ben, I think you're at @LISound_, correct?
Yeah.
Yep. And I'm at Kaiju Blue 13. That's KAIJUBLUE 13. Kenny, are you on Twitter?
I'm not on Twitter, but to all the fans that don't agree with the whole Letty thing, just send it to Damon. He'll filter through all the hate.
Send it all. especially Nick Letty's mom. She's going to send me a plate of bitch lasagna, I'm sure. So
good. You know what? We'll give her some, you know, yeah. We'll give her some dryer sheets with the dryer. Maybe sure. We'll make her happy.
And I think we would be remiss to not dedicate this episode to Charles Wong for the sheer fact that he's the only reason why this team is still on Long Island. And in a week where we actually broke ground building the, you know, our new arena, I think we would do a disservice to not dedicate this to Charles Wong. So that's what we're doing this week. For Ben and for Kenny, I'm Damon. Thanks for listening. If you made it through this whole podcast, you are a diehard Islander fan, and we will definitely hit you up next week. Thanks for listening, guys. Take it easy.
Take care.